Welcome to the Skeptic Wire.
Speaking to the Skeptic Wire, live from the response, I am here to say that I object.
I'm just standing here with Dan Barker of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and I just wanted to ask, you know, what's the best thing you could think you could happen from today, and what is the best and worst thing you've seen today?
Well, it's already happened. Public awareness is important, and the fact that so many groups have come together, Freedom From Religion Foundation and all these other groups, to protest this right-wing religious craziness of the governor, shows the world that there's different points of view, and that our point of view is valid, and that we are protesting two things, really. The governor mixing religion and government, which he shouldn't do, which was the point of our lawsuit, which, as you know, was dismissed due to standing on a very bad argument. But the second thing is to protest the affront, the silliness of prayer, that prayer would have any relevance in a modern secular society. We think when you have to pray, you're admitting you don't have any answers. And the governor basically said that. He said there are some problems that are spiritual and can't be solved except with prayer. So he's basically saying he's inept. He's also saying that by having a prayer rally on August the 6th, that the one on May the 5th must have failed.
The one for calling for rain?
Well, the National Day of Prayer on May the 5th.
One.
That must have been a failure because it didn't happen. So they're coming back again to poke God's eye again and say, hey, you know, we need your help still. And this one's going to fail too. So we got to give them some credit. It's a free country. They can do what they want. But you probably saw the plane message flying over that we put up. Governor keeps state and church separate. The mobile billboard that's been driving by.
Yep, got some pictures of that.
Yeah.
We put it up on our website.
Beware of pious politicians. And by the way, I'm a very humble guy, but that was my line. Get off your knees and get to work. And so I wrote a song about it, which I sang last night. And I haven't recorded it yet, but I'll do a recording, a quick recording, and I can send it to you. You can hear it was written just for this, you know, for the Perry
song,
thing.
Very so.
Did it work?
It worked well.
Oh, cool.
If you had 5 minutes with Rick Perry, would you sing him a song or just chat with him?
I would chat with him. I'd sing him a song, I guess, but I would ask him about the success rate of this prayer and ask him, what's the evidence for this God of yours, you know? Here you are praying that it'll rain in Texas when 29,000 babies in Somalia just died of starvation, you know? So what arrogance is it for you to think that this God in the sky is going to hear your prayers because you're better, and that he's, you know, if he does exist, he's a monster. If you go in there right now, they're raising their hands and closing their eyes and worshiping this slave master, and they're swaying, yes, Lord, yes, Master, you are everything, and we give you glory and honor, and it's a surrender. Of person, it's a surrender of intelligence to just bow down and shackle your wrists together and bow your head before some slave master.
It does help that they're starving and dehydrated because of the fasting.
Well, except I was just in there a few minutes ago and I saw a big line at the concession stand. So,
I think that was all the atheists and freethinkers going in there just
maybe.
To see what it was like.
Yeah, but see, some of them could say, I fasted for 8 minutes. Okay, time to eat. Because what does fasting do? I mean, really. One of the lines in my new song was, it's two lines about fasting, and then it says, you really shouldn't try it unless you're on a diet. Right? And then a good line, if I can remember it, was, prayer won't solve the budget, hope won't pay the bill, faith can't even nudge it, but taxing churches will. So, you know, why don't they get, if they really care about the budget, tax the churches. That would do it.
It would work.
I guess the metric could be no new Texas.
Whoops.
Well, good to talk to you.
Yep. Thank you very much,
Mr.
Barker.
Great. This is fun. Well.
We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid today. Heart, I do believe we
shall overcome someday.
I'm Brandy Deason. I'm from Spring, Texas.
And why did you come here today?
I came here to protest against the AFA and their hatred of the gay and lesbian community. And I also came here to protest for separation of church and state. Meeting on official capacity to pray for our problems is not the way to solve them. And I'm here to say that.
Out of all the things that could happen today, what do you think would be the best outcome?
Just to see that this is not a promotion of love for all, that this was an exclusionary event, and that some people are still being left out.
Hi, I'm Josh Elkins. I am from The Woodlands, Texas. And I'm here today to protest that this is a nation forum for religious freedom, and we should not have a religious meeting with government officials because of separation in church and state, of church and state. People forget that our founding fathers, this is what they fought for. This is what the nation was founded for. This should be a meeting of the minds and not a meeting of religious people only.
My name is Jennifer Stevenson. I'm from San Antonio. And I'm here to protest Rick Perry and the American Family Association. I'm here as a liberal Christian. I'm protesting this group because I feel like they drag Christianity through the sewer with their policies. Rick Perry has been, his policies have just created untold atrocities on the working poor of our state. Our children are starting school in a couple of weeks without textbooks because of his budget cuts. But it's policies like this that really are not Christian at all. And so I'm here as a Christian because Christianity is about helping the downtrodden. It's about helping the poor and caring for those people who are not benefiting. In the name of Jesus, they stand up and do these horrible things and talk about things in a way that divides people instead of bringing them together. Their hatred for homosexuals, their hatred for Muslims, their hatred for women, you know, is reflected in their policies, and they want to codify this hatred into law, and it's just absolutely unacceptable to our society, and it's unacceptable to me as a Christian, because that's not what Christianity is about.
Yes, my name is Josue Perez. I've been living in Houston for the last, I'll say 12 years, but I'm originally from Puerto Rico.
What's the best thing you think could happen after today?
Hopefully more people see what's going on, and people from all belief systems come out and say no union between any ideological belief and state.
All right, once more, all over again in Spanish.
Yeah, I can say in Portuguese and Italian too.
My name is Michael, last name Diviesti, first name is common spelling, last name spelled D-I-V-I-E-S-T-I, and I am the state lead coordinator for Get Equal Texas.
That we showed the rest of America that Texas isn't full of hateful imbeciles, basically. I mean, we've counterbalanced the damage that the American Family Association, Rick Perry, and Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council have done to our communities by showing a presence here today.
My name's Darla Dathan. I'm here because I've been an atheist since college, and I'm a transgender. I've been living as a woman since 2006. I hear that this Rick Perry seems to want to mix religion and politics. He thinks he's called to preach in Texas, as if Texas was his church. And well, I just couldn't stand by and let that happen. And especially since he's running for president, and so next year. So I came here to make my views known. Shows what the real Texas is like.
Sounds like they like us.
Oh yes, it certainly does. Certainly does. My God. Oh yeah. Way to show support.
Yes, my name is Tommy Wood. I was born and raised right here in Houston, Texas. I'm hoping that Rick Perry, he would be so shamed because of what he said and because of who he associated with, like the American Family Association, a group of complete bigots.
Okay, I'm Catherine Jackson from Kansas, and I came all the way to Texas only for a day because when government endorses religious gatherings of this nature, like it's supposed to fix everything, I feel insulted and ripped off, and I feel robbed of my freedoms, and I am very bitter about this. I don't know, I guess my overall message is, if you're going to hate people, at least have a decent reason for it.
All right, my name is Taylor Myers. I'm from New York, but I'm interning with the Freedom From Religion Foundation this summer. And I think that something good that could come out of today is the realization that religion isn't the only way to go in America. I think that a lot of people who are in the stadium right now truly believe that and truly believe that, you know, they've never even heard the other side of the story. So I really think that by holding these banners outside of Reliance Stadium and having, you know, people pass them, they'll say, wow, you know, maybe what if there is no God? You know, that kind of thing. So I'm really, you know, kind of optimistic about that. But other than that, you know, it's a bunch of politicians getting together to pray. How could anything good come out of that? It would be great if they could, you know, get together and think of things. That would be awesome, but not. That's not what's happening in there.
We won't disappear. We won't disappear. We won't disappear ever.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. It is August 10th, 2011, Yay. And you are listening to The Skeptic Wire. I am David Harcourt, joined today, as always, by Gary Lawn.
Bank.
Greg Perrine.
Missed it by that much.
And Donna Swafford.
A swing and a miss.
We are recording deep in the bowels of the Go Recording Studios in San Antonio, Texas.
No, Dave, we're not going to be talking about colon cleansing tonight.
Darn. That was on the schedule.
He keeps on trying to sneak that in.
Good article on colon cleansing. Don't have time for it. Well, all eyes on Texas this week, but we'll get to that in a little bit. First, we want to talk about an update to a story we had last week about Kurt Vonnegut, his book Slaughterhouse-Five, which was banned from a school in Missouri, the Republic High School in Missouri. And a wonderful thing has happened since then.
Tell us all about it, Dave.
The Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library has made a copy of Slaughterhouse-Five available to anyone in that high school who writes them a letter and asks for it. This is from an anonymous donor. He's donated 150 books to be made available to this school.
That's Kurt Vonnegut from the grave.
From the grave.
His foundation.
Fine.
Well, this is the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library. I did not know this exists. And, you know, this is in Indianapolis, which is my hometown. So I want to coo on that a little bit. This memorial library opened in January. They have a lot of outreach and helping schools teach Kurt Vonnegut books. There's some wonderful things on that site. They have a link to the Indianapolis chapter of Center for Inquiry. Ends up that Kurt Vonnegut was a big supporter of the Center for Inquiry.
That's great.
Things kind of come full circle.
He was a very big humanist.
He was a humanist. He was Humanist of the Year, American Humanist Association. Yeah. You know, I found Kurt Vonnegut through the high school library in my school.
That was my very first big research paper on Cat's Cradle.
Cat's Cradle, yeah. Read that. Yeah, my first was Breakfast of Champions.
Another very good one.
Indeed. Yeah, so...
you two sad sacks over there, and never probably even heard of him.
I have heard of him.
But he's from my hometown.
I wrote quite an extensive paper on Kurt Vonnegut, particularly Slaughterhouse Number 5 when I was in college.
Slaughterhouse 5.
What's with the number? You never
read it. Slaughterhouse 5.
Ha ha! Ha ha! We pedants. Anyway,
okay then.
But he's, you know, he loved Indianapolis.
Is that like a golden shower?
That was his city. No. All of his books, you know, centered around Indianapolis. That's my hometown. It's great. He went to the same high school as my mother and my stepdaughter, and it's great to see that his family and
the
community.
At the same time?
No, different times.
Okay.
He was very close
Well, that is tying into the Warren Chess trial. So.
Ah.
So different times.
We have some great quotes
from one after.
Julia Whitehead, the executive director of the library, saying that, you know, high school kids, they're about to be called to vote. They could be called up for military service. They're mature enough to read these if they want to read them. So we're going to provide them. And it's a great thing for this organization to have done.
And she's great. I emailed her kind of to ask about the connection between the library and the Center for Inquiry. Sent me a very nice email back. I love it. And I can't wait now to go home and see this library.
Cool. Right on.
So. Gary, did you have some science news coming up in the next day or two?
Some little geeky fun is coming up this week. Actually, it's happening this week, but it's going to peak at the end of the week, at the weekend. Do you know what I'm talking about?
My social life?
Well, yes. Could be. Except you don't have a social life during the week.
Oh, right.
No, the Perseid meteor shower is going to peak on the 13th, 12th and 13th of this week, of this month.
But there is some bummer about this year's Perseid.
Yeah,
shower,
that
right?
Stupid moon thing is going to be full and out and about and destroying our ability to see fiery objects in the sky.
Why haven't we blown that moon up yet?
I know. We've done it in enough cartoons.
Well, last year it was clouds.
Last year it was clouds. That's right.
Last year was clouds. Now we have a full moon. We're just destined to
know. And next year? 2012. The world's going to end.
Well, we'll get a good picture of the moon as it crashes into us.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, no, wait. 2012, we'll still have the Perseids because we're not dying until the end of the year.
So until December.
I was going for the joke, but fine. Be all smarty pants.
You still may have the end of the world rapture thing.
So the Perseids is not the ones.
That's happening in 2012. Yeah.
The Perseids is not the ones bringing doom.
No.
Okay.
Now that's the Mayans coming back from the dead or something.
Okay, but there's asteroids and stuff.
There's an asteroid going to be coming through. Yes,
nothing to do with the Perseids.
No.
Okay.
No, yeah. they're just trying to remake the crappy movie Armageddon.
Doesn't Apophis have a very
low budget version of it?
Exactly.
Doesn't Apophis have a close? Flyby in 2012.
Yeah, but not as close as the one that came between us and the moon. I think this one's a little bit beyond the moon.
Right. And we have one little intro thing before we get to our big topics. I want to give a quick shout out to a friend of mine from Chicago, Phil Ferguson. He writes the blog, the skepticmoney.com. He's also a personal financial manager. And, he wrote us and wanted to give us some help for our podcast, and we want to give some help to him and his blog. It's an interesting blog, not just of the usual kind of skeptical, I'm going to post some articles or videos from YouTube, but also talks about the financial side of skepticism and thinking straight about what you're going to do with your money and what you hear on the news about, you know, all the statistics and stuff like that.
So I didn't know who that was. Yeah, I did look at his blog. Very good blog. I got to tell you, his blog is very good, Skeptical Money.
Yep.
And, it's a general skeptical topics, but also he's knows a lot about the finances, and I think that's not an area we always hear about in the skeptical.
He gave a good paper talk at Sunday morning on TAM, so he's up and coming in the world.
Excellent.
Maybe more up and coming than we are, but hey, good for him.
So selling power bands at cost is probably not a good way to make money.
It's more financial investment stuff that he talks about, but yeah.
Okay. Right on.
Well, you gave yours away. I know that.
Those are placebo bands.
Yes.
And I was just being nice.
Well, that was a harsh response, Gary.
Well, it's the kind of response that we have in Texas. Harsh and useless. Why didn't you tell me about your response that you went to?
Well, he can't really comment on the response. He doesn't have the hair for it.
This is true. Shut up.
So this weekend, August 6th, I went out to Houston, Texas, and I was at the response. I was protesting outside all day. A couple friends of mine from San Antonio did go inside and told me kind of what it was about and what was going on. So I wrote fairly extensively on the blog about the AU-ACLU event the night before and the protests and what was going on. So first of all, go take a look at our blog and see what I wrote about the actual day of protest and what that was like.
Yes, because we finally posted on the blog as opposed to saying, you know, hey, we'll check that on the blog. So thank you.
You're welcome. But as you all heard in the beginning of the podcast.
Somehow I feel that comment was directed at me.
It's directed at all of us.
Okay.
I was just going to let that go because I'm the one, only one who really posts on the blog consistently. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I was
the
able.
The rest of us are slackers.
Lovely ceiling in here, don't you think? I love the ceiling.
Beige. I think I'll paint it.
Look,
beige.
Squirrel. So I was able to catch some audio of the event outside of the protest, and also got a, as you heard, a quick interview with Dan Barker of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
I thought that's who it was after he said his name and sounded exactly like Dan Barker. I thought, man, this must be Dan Barker.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Excellent.
Good Are you job. Sure it wasn't a doppelganger?
It could have been someone imitating Dan Barker. But having heard their podcast earlier in the week and he saying that he was going to be there, and then they were at, and the, or she, Annie Laurie Gerley was at in the courtroom when they denied them
right.
Even having a lawsuit against Perry for
lack of scandal.
Now, if I'm not right, they're the, really the only group that had a visibility in front of their.
That had visibility, that yes, that's
they
true.
They had the banners.
There were the, there was the, an American Atheist
the
presence.
And the truck.
Right.
Did it fly by?
They had a flying banner behind a prop plane mm-hmm. and the billboard truck. And also just some signs of their own. And Dan Barker was there all day on the sidewalk with the rest of us in the baking heat. He went inside once or twice, but he was out there all day. And, you know, there was some, there was an American Atheist presence, as far as I understand, and I did see Barry Lynn of the Americans United for Separation of Church and State for a brief time, and a few other people, like I saw Aaron Ross stop by for a little while. I'm not sure where he went after that, but them, you know, so there were a lot of people there, but the Freedom From Religion Foundation had a big presence there.
Good.
Right on.
Good. Good for them.
I heard there was some other event that happened the same day that I just...
yes.
That I had no idea about when I was there.
Yeah, apparently there was a large gathering just a couple of blocks away raising, providing school supplies, school uniforms, haircut vouchers, all of these things for students and families under the poverty line. Now, they had expected to only have about 25,000 people attend this. By 10 a.m., they had to shut their doors because they had over 100,000 people, 3 to 4 times what the estimated response attendance was, attend this event to raise money for kids.
Well, so, they were handing out school supplies, right?
Handing out school supplies, yes. Haircut vouchers, backpacks, and immunizations.
So they were actually doing something useful.
Yes.
As opposed to what was going on at the Reliance Center.
Yes.
Which was, did you go into the Reliance Center?
I didn't go inside. Some of my other friends did. And the interesting thing is, it seems that as the days have gone by, the estimates of how many people were there seem to have increased exponentially each time. Because the day before the event, it seemed like there was somewhere between 5 and 10,000 people signed up on the response
right,
website.
Registered.
And first of all, my friend Paul, who went inside... He was afraid that he was going to be searched or whatever, so he didn't bring much of anything, including food. And
he didn't take his weed
well, it was a fast.
They didn't, but they didn't search him. They didn't ask him to take anything away, and they didn't check any names on any kind of list. So the whole registration thing was just
the numbers,
BS.
And they didn't get the numbers out of the registration.
No.
And supposedly most of the people there were not registered.
Right.
Well, obviously, because there are about 6,000 people signed up on their website.
Right,
according
like 30,000 people.
And they're saying 30,000.
Well, on the day of, inside, and the day of, they were saying 20,000.
Yeah.
I have no idea how they all of a sudden got to 30,000.
Well, I've seen consistently 25,000.
Yeah. Well, it's based on...
They're splitting the difference. I've heard...
Yeah, it's based on how many people were on the floor, and then they had to open up balconies to...
I'm wondering if some of it was counting people who went in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah, little guys with the little hand checker thing.
Something like that. But for anybody who wants to actually go and do the calculus or the algebra to figure it out, the way it was described to me is the peak amount of people that were in there when Rick Perry was talking was the entire floor level was filled, the first mezzanine row of seats where normally it's like the floor level seats. That was all filled when Rick Perry was there, and it was overflowing a little bit into the club level. So if someone wants to go to Reliance Stadium and count all the seats,
yeah, but it's the floor. It's and then on the do floor, the that makes
yeah,
tough,
and do
you know?
the graphing of okay, this is the space.
It's
of
easy
the
if
floor.
They got a game on the floor and you can see how far
you can
the,
you
the
can do a pretty good yeah. pretty good guess.
It doesn't really matter. 20, 30, 000,
we need someone
whatever.
To go in there with survey equipment and a laser thing and yeah. you know estimate you know based on the fat
doesn't
Texans
matter.
That went inside
doesn't matter.
How many we could fit.
But. Doesn't matter.
I mean, 20, just don't want to see a week from now them claiming 50,000 and then. Yeah. 100,000, even though the stadium could only hold about 70,000.
Yeah.
But no declaration for president.
But he did speak, and I wasn't sure if he would even speak because he wasn't sure.
There was some indication that he may not have. What I saw from his speech, it was traditional. Pray Jesus.
Yeah, he tried to be all ecumenical about it, and
well,
as ecumenical as you can get. But no declaration for president.
Yeah, he said, you know, God.
Well, no, he wasn't. Yeah, I don't think there was ever any plan for him to do it at there.
But you never knew. It could have happened.
Yeah, it could have. He could have been suddenly called, I suppose. But they already told him he was called.
Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I read his speech. It's basically, you know, God, Jesus loves everybody. I think it was kind of funny the way he said, you know,
everybody
God doesn't, he doesn't believe, he doesn't belong to any political party or anything. And any, or even any man-made institutions. He loves all Americans.
Including like, President Obama.
Like, yeah. America is not a man-made institution. It was kind of funny.
In his worldview, America is made by God.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Shining city on the hill.
You know, it, granted, I don't think it was really mentioned in the.
You know, this guy is just getting.
The Bible? Don't think so.
America was not mentioned in the Bible, no, Gary.
Well, the Mormon Bible.
That's true. But I don't think his particular cult of Christianity likes that particular cult of Christianity.
Yeah, this is there Christians at all?
This is just getting, to me, just completely ridiculous. Yeah. The man's looking more and more like a prophet.
A preacher, yeah.
A preacher.
Well, the people he's hanging out with think that they're prophets and that he is as well. So, you know, they start wearing robes because that's what we all picture prophets to be.
Or at least funny hats so we can tell them apart.
Right.
Yes.
You know, you look at what he's doing, you say, is he pandering? Or does he really believe what he's doing?
Both.
And to me, it looks like he really, really believes what he's doing. I think he's just bought this whole business hook, line, and sinker.
I think now...
the way he looks, the way he talks, the way he acts, he's acting like he's God's man to lead this country back to God. And that's the way he's talking. And
I wish he would lead us back to God by not running in politics. If he wants to lead us back to God, don't do it in politics, for crying out loud. That's the worst way to do it.
Yeah. This is like a bad novel. It's just, I think it's going to be a bad chapter in American history if he gets the Republican nomination, and people are going to be looking back at
well,
this.
Well, okay, who's more insane, him or Bachman? Bachman, maybe. Although Bachman hasn't killed an innocent person.
God, you're making me choose between two complete...
two shit sandwiches.
You know, they're different. They're different. Because, first of all, I think Rick Perry,
that.
By the way, has been fairly pragmatic as governor for the past 10 years.
Okay,
you
mostly.
Know?
Except for that whole killing an innocent thing.
Yeah, he
wow, you just guys aren't going to let that go.
And, but, okay, so he's going to transfer. If he
not
in,
really.
in a parallel universe, if he becomes president, is he going to carry that pragmatism with him? And this is just a, you know, get the evangelical chip vote and then move on? Or is he really changing and seeing this as his God-given path to lead this country?
Remember, go ahead.
I honestly think that most political advisors would tell him, play the religion card, but don't play it too hard so that you can get the independence. And I don't think he would... his actions show that if anybody is telling him that, he's not listening to that. I think he, like you said, is a true believer who's really going for that base and thinks he can wrap up the election starting there.
Okay, I disagree, and I may be remembering this incorrectly. This may be influenced by stuff I've read, which is highly possible. But George Bush played up the religion card when he was trying to get the nomination. When he got the nomination, he went centrist so he could get elected, and then he went back to his roots.
But he was didn't doing have that a in big, the... one big event that everybody could point to and say,
"Well, no,
he kept being... that in the he was doing that in the background." He was not. This was not.
No, he
center
was.
With
he was
Bush.
Very much the born again, resaved thing all the way up, and then when he was running, he downplayed that to get the centrist because everybody already knew. All the evangelicals already knew he was evangelical. No, that's true. He did not do a huge church-state violation. You know, he talked about God a lot, but
I just don't see a comparison. I remember George Bush's governorship and run. I don't see.
I'm going to side with Gary on this one.
Perry's deeper in the valley.
All right, we got all set up for a tag team match.
You know, Perry is never really cared about church state separation. Let me tell you, the first time I saw Perry, I went up to Austin for, I think it was either Memorial Day or Veterans Day. They had a big thing at the Capitol, right?
Thought
it'd be nice. I don't remember which one. I thought it'd be nice to take the kids, the family up there. It was a long time ago because they were little.
Did you meet him in a bathroom stall?
Oh, you were
stall?
So foolish. Young and foolish.
Was he toe-tapping?
Did he have a wide stance?
Here we were.
They have a really bright backlight.
At the Capitol. And there's a big crowd in the lawn. I mean, 1,000 people. And there's the governor, and there's his staff, and there's, like, the leadership of the House and the Senate. And they have a Boy Scouts up there. And then they have a flag folding ceremony.
Right.
Okay? And I think it was, like, a scout leader and a Eagle Scout or something.
Okay.
Okay. You've seen these flag folding ceremonies, right? And they fold the state flag after this thing. Every fold was a different chapter in the Passion of the Christ.
Oh, boy.
What?
So this fold
wow.
was when they throttled him. This fold is when he dropped the cross. This fold is when they hammered the nails in. And this went on for, like, 5 or 10 minutes with the entire freaking Texas House, Senate, governorship sitting there watching this. And it was disgusting. That is a civic flag. That is everybody's state flag. And they're folding their death cult religion in a secular, icon, the Texas state flag.
Sounds like a very David Barton moment.
It was horrible.
Wow.
I'm like, when is somebody going to stop this? When is somebody going to stand up and say, what the hell is going on here? It was horrible. This was probably 10 years ago. That was the first time I ever saw Rick Perry. And it's crazy, crazy shit. So you wonder, does he have any sensibility about separation of church and state? No.
No, I don't think
Not
he does.
Not at all.
Otherwise, I think he would hide it a little bit. He would just use the code words, but this was a big splashy event, a big splashy middle finger to anybody who's not evangelical Christian.
And George Bush was not out there splashy, right. Doesn't care who hears it. He was a little bit more muted, a little bit more selective about the crowds he was in front of when he said those things.
I agree. Okay. He's still a friggin' idiot, but he was a little smarter that way.
And before we close the subject out, because I forgot when I did my little thing, need to give a special thank you to my sister, Carol Chesser, who provided us for the information about the school supply rally at the very last minute. So big thanks to
Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. Okay, I'm done talking about this guy. I don't want to say his name.
But the last word is that he may be declaring for president this weekend. So
yeah, he's probably going to declare this weekend.
Hopefully we don't have to talk about him next week again.
I hope that this
event kills his candidacy.
Yep.
And so. I hope that the American people are good enough and smart enough to reject this shit.
Yep, I agree.
I can concur with you with that.
And I haven't done it yet, but I will post some pictures from the response protest to our Facebook page for the Skeptic Wire podcast So go ahead and once I get those up, check out those photos from the event. So
look us up on Facebook.
We're going to talk about go from one crazy dumbass to another.
Yeah, pretty. I mean, I can't really
think.
He's not
stupid. He's just crazy.
Okay. We had another big story this week, religious story, another Texas religious story, Warren Jeffs.
We're just full of them.
Are you going to talk about this, Greg?
I'll set the scene. I'll set the scene for everybody.
Wait, children, gather around. No, wait, children, flee.
Yeah, it's probably safe for the children to go out of the room right now. So settle on back and listen to a tale of Warren Jeffs.
And his 50 wives.
That's not too far off from the truth, from what they found on the church record. So back in, 2008, Texas authorities got a call to an abuse hotline, basically saying that women were being abused at this FLDS, Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, compound. And the Texan Rangers went in and they took children away, about 400 children away from their parents, and searched the whole compound and found documents and recordings and the whole thing. It turned out that original call was a hoax, but they did find all this evidence of...
Which doesn't make sense to me. Every story says it was a hoax, but real shit was going on.
Real abuse was happening, so it's not much of a hoax.
It was like the actual nature of the call wasn't true, but what they found was kind of similar. Because they found a lot of... The big thing they found is a lot of underage girls pregnant. And that's what kind of gave them
just
the...
like our school system.
That's what gave them the excuse to keep looking for evidence. So they eventually gave the parents back their children, but 11 men were basically charged, arrested with sexual abuse and bigamy charges because a lot of these people had plural marriages and the whole thing.
I remember that period. I don't know how much national coverage that was. We got that on the news every single night.
I was living up in Chicago then. We heard about it all the time.
With all the pictures of the women, they looked like they just came out of the
1800s with the prairie dresses.
Yeah.
So for several years, it seemed like when that happened, I guess Warren Jeffs wasn't at the compound or something like that.
No, but I believe he actually took off during the raid.
During the raid.
It's like opening a time capsule.
Yeah, he went off on the lam.
Ooh, I forgot that.
he was basically hiding with church members, whatever, and eventually I think he was found in Utah. He was basically
Nevada?
Utah.
Utah, Nevada, or Arizona.
It was one of those deserty states. He was basically pulled over in a traffic violation, and
the cop recognized him. Oh my God, you're Warren Jeffs.
Yep.
I am arresting you.
I'm sure that's exactly how it went.
I'm arresting you, Warren Jeffs.
So apparently, in that state where he was arrested, they did charge him with something else, and he got convicted, but then it was overturned on a technicality, and then eventually he got extradited to Texas, which is now what we're talking about. It seems for a couple years now, he's been really delaying this trial, hiring and firing lawyers. It's like every month he would hire 10 lawyers and fire them all.
Greg, would you remind me when that raid happened? What year was that?
2008, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So the last couple years, since he's been arrested.
That's the same year that Opportunity started going towards the crater.
You missed that story.
And we're not talking about Mars. No. Never mind. Coincidence?
No.
I think not.
Just
it took just the amount of time for that little robot that could to get to the rim of that huge crater.
We're talking about
as it was to bring Warren Jeffs to justice.
The only connection that has with this story is that Warren Jeffs' brain is just about as dead as Mars.
And our Opportunity has a subpoena.
Yes.
And he has no more opportunities.
Yes.
His nickname is going to be Bunny.
So the very end of July, the trial started for the sexual assault nature of the charges. Apparently he's going to be tried for bigamy, polygamy later in the year, but this was just sexual assault. That is very important. A sexual assault on a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Basically, the day before the trial, he fires his entire defense team yet again and says, I'm going to defend myself.
Yeah.
And that's when the theatrics began.
Yeah, it was theatrical, wasn't it?
And then the judge said, hey, you guys that he just fired, you guys sit behind him.
Yeah.
Make sure he doesn't fuck up too badly.
Right, when they asked him questions, they said, he told us not to say anything.
Yeah, basically, she...
I'm sure that they really wanted that job.
Judge Barbara Walther is her name. She tried to convince him to retain counsel, to not defend himself. She tried, but he just would not do it.
Didn't he stand there speechless for 30 minutes once?
At once?
Several times. Basically, when the trial began, I think the defense gives the opening statement first, I think. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But
it matters not. He gave his own defense, and he didn't say anything.
Which was this. There you go.
Yeah, basically, he stood there. He did not say a thing for his opening statement.
And that was his statement basically saying that he doesn't recognize the authority.
Well, we'll get to some juicy tidbits later.
Okay.
Yeah.
He basically went for the whole, I'm going to be a martyr here, and I'm going to do as much as possible to make you guys look bad. You know, coming down hard on this innocent
Christian man.
Leader of a cult person guy.
But for the beginning, he was just silent. He didn't say anything for his opening statement. The prosecutor did his opening statement.
He was contemplating how to give them all the Kool-Aid.
Sure he was.
Either that or
the jurors were playing Angry Birds on their iPod.
Yeah.
damn it, it was Farmville.
It'll be Farmville.
Sorry. So the entire prosecutor's opening statement, he did not say a thing. And the judge, basically, after the opening statement says, you got to defend yourself. And then he was, like, silent for hours. And then he goes on a half an hour rant about, you know, he needed more time for his defense because he could not teach his lawyers how to give him a, scare quote, pure defense, end quote, whatever that means.
They just didn't understand that his religious rights were being violated.
Yeah, he didn't have the time to educate the court on what his religion really was.
Yeah.
So either he was deathly silent, did not say a thing, or he was ranting and rambling. And the only reason she let him ramble is because he didn't give an opening statement, so she gave him some leeway so he wouldn't have on appeal to say, you never let me talk. So it basically went like that for several days where, you know, he would be silent for nothing and then would just rant on and on. And he would do things like talking about this is basically he threatened the court, the jury and the judge saying, I, the Lord God in heaven, called upon the court now to cease this prosecution against my pure and holy way coming against my church. Let it stop now. He was speaking for God at this point.
Yeah.
Thou and shalt then, not use my name in vain.
Exactly. And then, I shall let all peoples know of your unjust ways. I shall send a scourge upon the counties of prosecutorial zeal, and they will be humbled by sickness and death.
And drought?
No, just basically everybody would die. So he's threatening the jury. He's threatening the judge.
Wow. Not impressed.
Yeah.
Let also Barbara Walther's be of humbling to know
who?
That I have, the judge.
Oh, okay.
That I have sent a crippling disease upon her, which will take her life soon.
Wow.
And apparently, Judge Walther's is someone who suffered from polio as a child. So she already limps. And he's basically attacking her. On this way. And basically, it's just a lot of that kind of stuff.
Now, he had one person he called as a witness.
Yes. Right? It was
one of his
church elder
buddies.
Yeah, J.D. Roundy. He gave about a 4.5-hour lecture on what the FLDS beliefs are. He didn't say anything about Jeff's, what he did, anything about the 12-year-old and 15-year-old. He just lectured on, you know, basically what FLDS is about, why bigamy and polygamy are important, and it'll bring them close to God.
They could have just shown the musical, The Book of Mormon, instead.
See, these are fundamentalists. Different, completely different.
Yes.
It's a break-off set.
Completely different wig.
Than Mitt Romney.
So, magical underpants. Basically, they had all this evidence against him, because he taped.
Yeah.
He audio-taped
himself
his 12-year-old,
having sex with a 12-year-old and a 50-year-old.
And his defense was what?
My religion means polygamy is good.
And you are interfering with my religion.
Yes.
With this prosecution.
He didn't say anything about the girls themselves. It was all, my religion requires right. polygamy.
Because we talk about religious exemptions for this and that. We were talking this week, there's a religious exemption for requiring birth control and insurance. Things like
right.
that we talk about. So we kind of a slippery slope. This is like the bottom of the slippery slope. Where religious exemption for raping 12-year-old.
Fortunately, the judge was not having none of it.
Yeah.
So. And neither was the jury, because they convicted those
yep.
of us.
So he was
rather
convicted.
Quickly.
Yeah, they basically
which
were...
Which argues against the slippery slope argument.
They deliberated for about 3.5 hours on his conviction, and he was convicted of sexual assault of the 12-year-old and the 15-year-old.
Life.
And a few days later, he was given 99 years/life for the 12-year-old sexual assault, and 20 years... for the 15-year-old who he impregnated.
And he may get more? You say he's going back?
Yeah, he has charges? To go back for he the bigamy trial.
Yeah, so...
Well, just leave him in jail.
Yeah, this is an utter scumbag.
Well, here's scumbag. The question. Are the sentences running concurrently or consecutively?
Well, 99 years. I mean, he's an old guy. Right?
I don't know,
so,
but
99 years.
The articles I read said he would only be eligible for parole in 2070. He's going to die in jail and good riddance.
Then he is probably running... consecutively, because you would do the 20 years first.
Well, unfortunately...
3 years yeah. time served.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the investigation kind of did some strange and bad things, which
they
could
stepped over
easily
some lies.
Overturn stuff if he decides to have someone appeal for him.
Yes, that whole pesky Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, one of the things, the search and seizure, they kind of... raided and didn't get the proper clearance to bring out things and look in places that they found some of the stuff that they yeah. used in the prosecution. And to but get the DNA evidence, they had the parents and the children were required to give blood mm-hmm. Before they would give the children back to the parents. So they get DNA evidence of the actual babies of the children to see if it was Jeff's or not. And that's really not a good way to do that. They would have to do it voluntarily. But when you're in a cult, I guess, you know.
Who knows what the Patriot Act allows nowadays.
Well, that's true. Now, I didn't think about the Patriot Act. You can use that for all kinds of sorts of things.
Pretty much.
Oh, and unfortunately, if it's being used in a good way, it really upsets me. Because we really shouldn't have it.
But, you know, he's been convicted for now, and it seems like other people, like relatives of his sister, is saying he should have been put away a while ago.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Like, and his niece is also talking out about him. I don't
I
know
think
if...
there's also a nephew now who is talking out about him, basically saying that Warren Jeffs raped him when he was a small child.
Whoa.
Yikes.
You know, this gives polygamy a bad name.
Yeah, because really, I mean... As far as polygamy goes, I don't really have a problem with it.
As long as everybody is consenting adults.
Consenting adult.
Yeah.
Is capable of giving consent. Because, once
right.
again, the whole gay marriage argument over if we allow gay marriage, this is going to lead to polygamy
yeah,
and bestiality.
Kind of yeah,
animals
that's
can't
what,
really
yeah.
give consent.
Yeah.
So I'm...
Animals, you're exactly
what
right.
What about chimpanzees?
That's why there
they
is
can
no
sign.
Slippery slope. You stop it at consent.
Please don't go there.
And if adults are giving consent, then I'm okay. You know, there's no slippery slope into animals and children.
But chimpanzees can sign no molesto, no molesto.
They can also sign banana.
That, okay.
That really wasn't kind of where I was going.
Just because your banana has kung fu grip action now.
Okay.
I don't want to know about it.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
I think we are.
Because
so.
We have a new member
of
the San Antonio chapter
of
the Holistic Chamber of Commerce.
Yay!
Oh, these are exciting times.
And I looked at this woman's website. Holy cow!
She has everything.
Okay. Everything!
I know, she has a lot of skills, doesn't she?
She's,
her name is Jamie.
Well, she claims
see,
to.
I didn't read this, so this is all new to me.
She's
so
like, she's like
the
mall in Blues Brothers. She has everything.
Okay,
yes.
Let me talk you through
go
what,
for it.
What she does. And her name Call is Jamie, and I apologize if I mispronounced your last name, Jamie. It's Mahan.
But we're going to mock you anyway.
M-A-I-H-A-N.
Mock.
If I got that wrong, you can contact me at skeptiquire.gmail.com. Now, she has a site called Star Channeling. And she has a lot of, you know, some good services,
what?
Your basic services, channeling, psychic and tarot readings, mediumship, past life readings, hypnosis, astrology, spiritual clearing, energy work, and business and personal counseling.
Ascended Masters and the Archangel Realm.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
Whatever the hell that
is. She's got some contacts.
Well, I have a question. Is past lives anything like life between lives spiritual regression? Because it seems to me that's kind of the same thing. Yeah,
there's a lot of talk of meditative state, so probably.
Yeah, she has past lives, and I did see something about between lives.
Yeah.
It could,
which
quite,
I looked up.
She didn't really get into that.
Well, she's a certified between lives person thing.
She's certified something.
So, right. Like, after
sort of like
Cleopatra and before...
Somebody who's in the process of transitioning
it's
from
hypnosis.
Male to female? Or
No. Now, this is...
You're sure?
It's a deep meditative state, and it's right... It brings you to a place where you existed before this lifetime.
Right. Okay.
You said between lives.
So, between lives.
Right. But see... Of course. What am I saying? Of course, you have past lives, and then you have your between lives.
Your between lives.
Yeah. So it's sort of, what was that movie with the painting and Robin Williams?
What Dreams May Come,
yeah.
Or Defending Your Life.
That's What Dreams May Come.
It's a great movie.
So you can find out what your past lives was and what you were doing when you're waiting around to get your next life.
And she's very detailed about what you find in between lives. She talks a lot about encountering your true soul groups, your spiritual council members, your spiritual guides, the library, council rooms, healing...
What Dreams May Come.
Healing areas, pools, life selection areas, and much, much more.
You get to select your own life?
Yes.
Your next life?
No, this is exactly What Dreams May Come.
Yeah.
It's exactly from that. It's that whole idea, which if you ever read that...
Obviously, she has.
It's the same,
yeah, I've read the book.
Okay. It's based on this whole thing. So.
Okay, now.
But that's just one thing she does.
Oh, she's very multi-talented. In fact,
and not cheap.
She can also help you find lost items, apparently.
About Jamie.
Like
she considers herself.
Like a tortoise. We'll be touching on that later.
She's a trance channel, psychic, medium, astrologer, tarot and angel card reader, and spiritual leader. She's a clairvoyant, clairaudient. Clairsentient.
Clairaudient?
Clairomniscient.
What the hell is a
clairaudient? It seems to me if you're clairomniscient...
Clairaudient is hearing.
Yeah, but if you're
clairvoyant,
if you're clairomniscient, you probably don't need to mention clairaudient. Probably takes care of everything.
Well, no, that's just knowing everything. That's not hearing and seeing everything.
She's also a personal life coach.
Yes.
Yeah, but she's been communicating with the unseen dimensions for about 15 years. And there's some. Let me point out a few things about her profile. She's able to remove herself personality-wise and consciously to the higher dimensions, guides, and angels. So let the higher dimensions and angels come through. And there's some really cool stuff here because she works in depth with the spiritual realms to heal, align, and balance the physical, emotional, and mental spiritual bodies. Okay. I can see and help to remove implants, entities,
implants,
and other blocks.
Yes. Breast implants, dental implants, the whole thing.
Butt implants.
Why would you want to remove them? You paid good money to have them put in.
They could be leaking.
I think you really need to go and check your body for implants regularly because you never know.
As far as I know,
maybe
I've never been.
Maybe she's
aliens.
Talking about those alien anal implants.
Yeah, or the ones in the nose or the back of the neck.
The CIA stuff, yeah.
Now, okay. Some of her qualifications, she has an MBA.
Well, this is a very good business model. Except, I would like to point out that in her astrology, she only does Western astrology.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to specialize.
Yeah. Well, now she's just a quack.
But I do want to mention she has a... She did go to UTSA, the University of Texas, San Antonio.
You can do all this at UTSA?
She also went to University of Dallas.
PhD ADB in cognitive and neuroscience.
What does ADB
I looked
or
that
ADD
up.
Mean?
It means all but dissertation.
Oh, yes. So she's lazy.
So she didn't do her dissertation.
So she was when
we'll give her some credit.
She was going to school and realized she could make more money selling bullshit.
Yeah. So there's some impressive things. I just want to point out two things in highlight of what she does quickly. The spiritual cleansing, the multidimensional healing and cleansing is a process removing entities and other blocks as ascendant masters and archangels are engaged to reconnect and balance your physical and subtle bodies. Your DNA is stimulated, and that sounds really good.
I would love that.
My DNA is stimulated.
Well, wow. That's going to be my Saturday night. So.
And reconnected to the cosmic light, raising your vibrations and frequencies, you know? Or is it... It sounds like it should be... That's weird.
I
frequency
want to meet
this of your vibrations...
She
kind
is
of,
kind of cute in a... You
she
know,
is. She is cute.
And apparently...
The most impressive thing...
Go ahead,
Craig.
No, I hope this isn't the same thing you were going to say. Apparently, she is able to see and help to correct weakened energy patterns within the body and the environment, and she specifies your house, a building, or your yard.
Yeah, I saw
so
that.
Apparently, if your lawn is dying, it's an right. energy pattern or something.
Yeah.
What,
we got problems
what if
here.
You have like a shared space between two buildings? Like me and my neighbor, we mow the same area every alternate time.
Well,
weeks.
That's a conflict of the chi and so. The meridian lines and the crystals and the... Sorry.
Hey, I wish look, we had that on video.
This all is good. This all is good and well. But the most impressive thing that she can do comes buried into the channeling.
Fart
phase.
Ice cream out?
Okay.
What would
into
she do for a Klondike
material?
Bar? That's what I'm wondering.
Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Down to the bottom of the page.
Dude, because Jamie's, we're reading the page.
I am. Jamie's through Jamie's channel, you can speak directly with ascended masters such as... Jesus.
Really?
Oh.
Mother Mary.
May I?
Saint Germain.
Saint
El Moria.
Is that a Germain point?
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu?
Melchizedek and others. Forget him. I want to talk to Jesus. Come on. If Melchizedek shows up, where's Jesus? I want to talk to Jesus.
Apparently she can talk to Alan Rickman.
What?
She can talk-
Metatron is listed. I'm not shitting you. Metatron is missing.
But look, sometimes the archangels show up. We've got
Metatron.
Metatron,
the archangels? I thought
Michael,
they broke up like a couple of years ago.
Uriel, Gabriel. Yes, oh, Gabriel? Yes. Are you kidding me? Gabriel's the man.
He can blow a horn.
If Gabriel doesn't show up,
according
I'm
to the Keanu Reeves movie, it's kind of iffy whether it's man or woman. But.
You know, yeah. And Raphael. If Raphael shows up, hey, get me Gabriel. I want to talk to Gabriel. He's the man.
Get me
I
Gabriel.
Want to talk to Rufus.
You know, the archangels show up at her sessions, and that is definitely worth the $75 per half hour or $125 per hour.
Yeah, she doesn't charge cheap.
Yeah.
I want to know who the light beings are.
The light
are.
Beings from other galaxies, such as the Star Nation, Star Nations and Federations, come through as well.
Federation of Planets?
Man, I want more than an hour. How much would you spend to talk to the...
Captain Picard?
Beeblebrox.
Zaphod, yeah. What the hell on?
And Jesus. And Gabriel.
Oh my goodness, did you read the last
actually
sentence?
Pay a lot of money for that.
Did you read
go
the
for
last
it, Donna.
Sentence? The Holy Trinity is sometimes visible during our readings.
The Holy Trinity!
Is not just there, but they're visible?
Visible.
Okay.
Look right there. Holy Trinity
so we knew the Father and the Son.
Very visible.
The Holy Spirit is the one that I'm interested in.
What, they don't talk about
the Holy
Spirit that much.
Is it a dove? Are you going to get shat upon? Are you going to get, like,
no,
slime on the top of your head because you've been...
I want to see the three
the Holy
things
Trinity
in
the
one thing at the same time. I think that's going to be the freaky thing.
Well, you know what? I know how to do that. It's like a magic eye thing. You just have to cross your eyes a lot. And then move backwards.
I thought it was through absinthe.
That's one way, sure.
So this is www.starchanneling.com. And this is Jamie, and she is the newest member of the San Antonio chapter of the Holistic Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome,
welcome, welcome.
You got something, Greg?
We could do a quick poll.
59 seconds. A minutes.
I got two questions for you.
Sure.
Is it satire?
Yes.
And is it woo or fundamentalism?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
In the corner.
This week, and we have to do it kind of because I've already posted it to the blog.
Okay.
Aren't you just the overachiever?
Yes. But
that's what all right,
I've got
the objection.
Eight cults listed here.
Ooh.
They're cults. So you have to tell me if these are actual cults that are in the real world that people espouse to believe in, or if they're cults from that were made up for fiction.
Okay.
And then I will tell you which fiction, if they are fiction.
Okay.
So, number one, the Kinda are a primitive jungle cult where psychic powers are fostered to protect against Mara, the evil snake being of the subconscious that longs for a corporeal reality.
I say it's real.
I'm going real.
This reminds me of a book I read, which is fiction. But I think they are real.
It is fake. It's from a Doctor Who episode called Kinda. Kinda. All right. The Hindu, number two, the Hindu cult Agori will eat anything from rotten food to animal feces. The finality of their rituals is attained from eating the decaying flesh of a human.
That's true.
True.
Okay, true.
You are all correct. It is an actual cult.
Is this half and half? Is this 4 and 4?
I'm not going to tell you.
Number three.
Number
oh
three.
Oh, my God.
The bastard. Russian cult of Gadget Hackwrench believe in a Disney cartoon that is called Gadget Hackwrench from the famous Disney Rescue Ranger TV show as a divine being.
That cannot be true.
I'm going to go true.
I think it can be true.
Those crazy Russians are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell if this actually is satire, but
sounds like a
there is a group in Russia that, you see pictures of them carrying a banner of Gadget Hackwrench with candles.
So don't know if it's true.
It is
or they're play acting.
Well, that's why I was saying it's an actual cult that people say that they believe in somewhere in the world.
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Or the Church of the
Church of Jedi.
Subgenius.
I wouldn't
more.
Have said Subgenius or Jedi or Flying Spaghetti Monster because people do say they believe in that.
Well, right, but...
It may be satire. Right.
It
may be satire. I don't know. It's in Russian. I can't tell.
Okay, that one doesn't count.
I can get Mike to look at it.
So. We need to get an interview with one of these people. That's what we need to do.
So, number four, the feeders of Val cult reveres a dragon named Val that they say controls every element of the environment from lightning to fruit on trees. The only by feeding the dragon are they spared its wrath.
Satire.
Satire.
From lightning to the
mumble, 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 mumble.
Hey, I'm thinking. Out loud.
I
mostly,
can see the
kind
smoke
of.
From yours.
The feeders of Val. This sounds like a fake one.
It is from the Star Trek original series episode, The Apple. Completely made up. Oops. Number five, the creativity movement is a xenophobic and white supremacist cult which advocates a religion known as the white religion called creativity.
Real.
True.
I think it's fake.
It is true. Sorry, Gary.
Yay! Number six.
Number six.
Yay, white supremacist cults.
White supremacy is a cult. Number it's like a cult within a cult.
And they're
count.
Called creativity. How creative is that?
Exactly.
Really?
That's why I included that one.
Not really, but okay.
Foundationism is a cult that aims to get back at the roots of all the religions, asserting that the core message of existing religions often get lost when politics and money and nationalism get in the way of things.
I think that's true.
I think it's true.
True.
That is the made-up religion of Babylon 5. From a couple hundred years in the future.
Foundationalism.
Yep.
So yeah, I thought it was going back to the foundation.
No,
series.
Not the
clever,
Isaac
okay.
Asimov
clever,
thing.
Clever,
but, yep.
Clever, clever.
Number seven, Blaine.
Clever satire.
Blaintology is an American magic worshipping cult who, after failing to achieve tax-exempt status in 2001, attempted a mass suicide in Washington, D.C.
I think that's real.
I have not heard of that.
I'm going to go fake.
I would think I would have heard of that. And for that, I say fake.
You are correct, David. B. because it was from a South Park episode where the kids got obsessed with the magician David Blaine.
Yep. Yeah. Damn it.
And number 8, Ho Na Hana Sangpogayo is a Japanese cult often referred to as the foot reading cult, as the founder of this cult believed that he could make a diagnosis by examining people's feet.
I think that one's true, too.
Sound true.
Japanese, I believe anything the Japanese do.
That is an actual cult.
All right, I got 5.
I got 6.
So except for the one that David kind of disagreed with me on, and I don't blame him for, that was the Pose Corner for this week.
Good one, Greg.
Thank you, guys.
Very nice. Good job. Good job.
And now...
Lightning Round.
Lightning Round!
Lightning! Yay!
So I'm going to start the Lightning Round this week with a story about the Microsoft, what do you call the Microsoft browser?
Internet Explorer.
I'm sorry, God, I read this. I really did. Now, there was a story, it was all over the internet. I actually read it. It had to do with this kind of intelligence test. Based on, they would do an intelligence test and ask what browser you used and what version of the browser they used. And they came up with the results and said, you know, people use old versions of the Microsoft Explorer browser.
Or just any version of the Explorer.
Well, no, it was specifically the Microsoft Explorer browser.
Internet Explorer
has lower intelligence.
Yep.
Okay. And I think we all read this story and probably chuckled about it because it made sense. Ends up it was a hoax. We all got taken in. I know I did.
Yep.
Raise your hand if you were taken in. I was. So this was a hoax, and I've gone to the website of the hoaxer. He's called Aptiquant, and he is a developer. And he started this hoax. He knew it would be caught on. He didn't know it would get so big, but he did think it would be detected fairly quickly, but he was just frustrated for having to develop websites with old versions of Microsoft Explorer
because apparently
they were not using the current standards.
People are still using IE6 or something like that.
This is his way of saying, you people are stupid. Update your frickin' browsers to version 9 because I'm tired of trying to develop. And my time is up, but I want to say this guy likes Richard Dawkins, and he got the idea of doing this from Richard Dawkins' meme theory, and he thought he could put a meme out there that people who use old browsers are stupid. Now let's move on.
Alrighty.
Gary, car accidents in Google.
Yes, this is cool. Google, if you don't know, is trying to develop a self-driving car. I think this is a great idea.
Did they name it the Night Industries 2000?
I don't know what they're trying to name it at the moment, so don't go there.
It's got
to
be better than some of the drivers here in San Antonio. Yeah,
absolutely, and that's the whole point. There are bad drivers out there, and this would take care of that. Plus, it'd move us into the future where you could do other things while driving in the car or riding in the car. So,
you mean like texting?
Sure.
You mean like
so
having sex?
They were having a test in Mountain View, California, and apparently it got into an accident, this car.
Oh, no, the technology is invalidated.
It was a Prius, so it was cool.
Hit another Prius.
Unfortunately,
fortunately
or unfortunately, I'm not really certain, it wasn't the car driving at the time. They're required to have a driver behind the wheel in case anything goes wrong, and they happen to be in the hands of the driver behind the wheel. So
I think it's a plus for Google.
I think it is a plus if that's if they can prove that it was in fact the guy driving it and not the car that messed up.
The guy probably did not trust what the car was doing, tried to change the directive, got in an accident.
It was in manual control mode, like that.
I think they may have just been moving it around, or they were done with the test or whatever. It didn't say, but they don't say anything about the actual. How it's done, and I'd be more interested in that.
The statement from Google is just like so wishy-washy. I hate it. Safety is our top priority.
Well, actually, their thing is do no evil.
They didn't say that.
But that's their
safety
motto.
Is their top priority.
Moving on.
Okay, moving on. I'm sorry. Donna, you are next. Oh, family lost their tortoise.
Yes, they did. A family in Kankakee, Illinois, recently lost their tortoise. It was missing for 26 days. Police actually went on a search, couldn't find it. So a woman named Sherry called them up and said that she had seen Rex the tortoise in a vision and that he was hiding under a neighbor's shed.
And was he?
No, you know what? At the time, he may have been. We'll give her the little bit of credit there. When he was
benefited
found
of the doubt.
26 days later, he was basically a block away, hidden
That's
under
a fast tortoise.
Okay, how many days? And he was
26.
A block away? 26 days. About as fast as the spirit. And
yeah.
But he was found under some bushes. The woman went out and went, fuck, there's a tortoise. Called the cops. The family and the tortoise were reunited. So
aww. Happy ending. Hey. Happy and the psychic.
Did they say anything about the psychic at all?
Yeah, I bet.
Afterwards. Oh, it was underneath the shed when I had the vision.
Yeah.
But he voomed over across to the neighborhood.
Right. So basically, yeah. So the psychic, once again, proven wrong.
We have, well, not well, proven. We just have no idea what role.
Suspected.
Had no role in the final
suspiciously
recovery.
Didn't actually find the tortoise.
But the title of the headline is the best part of it. Runaway tortoise evades psychic and police for 26 days.
Nice.
Runaway tortoise. Love it. Greg.
And they'll make a good film someday.
What are we talking about? The new Cosmos series on Fox.
Yes. So as many skeptics know, one of the really premier science education shows that inspired a lot of people to get into, you know, technology and engineering and math was Carl Sagan's Cosmos in 1980. Well, there have been long
on PBS.
On PBS. And apparently one of the most watched series on PBS until Ken Burns' documentary about the Civil War came about. So really popular really? For a long, long time. And the production team behind that, including Carl Sagan's widow, Ann Duren, had been hoping to maybe do a sequel or a follow-up to Cosmos in later years. But everybody always wanted to do it kind of like wishy-washy science and... But fortunately, she recently, in the last few years, got in touch with Seth MacFarlane of Family Guy and American Dad fame. And he is a big science fan. He's also getting the...
Harvard Humanist of the Year Award.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
So he is a big science fan, and he was able to get these people from the Cosmos team in touch with actual Fox producers. So in prime time in 2013, I think it is,
2012 or 2013.
In broadcast in 2013, they're going to be broadcasting a new 13 episode of Cosmos. Now, I'm going to request a mulligan to just read a quote.
Okay.
All right. This is from MacFarlane. He said, "Never more than at this moment in the modern era have we needed a profound reminder of the colossally important and exciting role that science, space exploration, and the human quest for knowledge must continue to play in our development as a species. We should be vigorously exploring the star system now, and who better to inspire us to get there than Ann Duren, Steve Soter, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, who will be hosting the show, and, of course, Carl Sagan."
Sweet.
Wow.
And it's Fox, not Fox News.
Yes.
So.
Did I say Fox News?
No. You didn't.
No, you
didn't. Okay. I just want to point that out. Fox
Network.
Fox Entertainment is a completely separate entity, so they don't necessarily interject, as you know from Family Guy and other Seth MacFarlane kind of things.
When is this supposed to start?
2013. Sometime in 2013.
Oh, we're all going to be dead by then.
Damn those Mayans and their calendar.
Okay, I'm next. I'm going to talk about anxiety. I'm going to talk about fauna and flora in your gut.
That kind of makes me a little anxious.
Very, very exciting research. First of all, let me give credit where credit is due here. This is from Stephen Collins at the McMaster University. This is very exciting stuff. And what he's done, they've taken, these are studies with mice, where they've kind of cleaned out, you know, we all have, it says here we have 1,000 trillion
bacteria,
microbial, you know, bacterial in our guts. And now these guts are, and these are very beneficial. We really depend on these and we need them. But what they've done is they've cleared all these out with antibiotics, and they've kind of seeded them with different types of fauna in the different guts of the different mice, and it actually affects their behavior. Okay?
Ooh, spooky. Do we have free will then?
So,
or is it just what we eat?
That's a longer discussion, Gary.
So some might, it changed whether they were curious or timid and so on. This is very, very, very important. And, you know, I've been listening to the Brain Science podcast, and they talk about embodied intelligence. You talk about whether you can upload your brain to a computer. Okay, what do you miss? There's so much of what we think and feel that is part of our body, and we're still trying to figure that out.
Oh, we're going to have to upload bacteria.
So we have like the guy, the cryonics guy who just got his head, you know, let's save the head. Okay, for later times we can upload it to a computer, but we're really starting to realize how important the body is as part of the thought process. You can change the flora in your gut, and now they're talking about like this may be a cause of some psychiatric disorders if you have.
Are you requesting a mulligan?
Apparently the dog is.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because look. They're actually finding that some psychiatric disorders can be caused by disruptions.
But they knew that some diets can help with migraines and schizophrenia and stuff like that. I mean, they kind of know that.
Once you have
they
that,
don't know what exactly one, causes
yeah.
it.
Once you have that kind of community of bacteria in your gut, it's very hard to kind of change
just
that.
Changing,
and
yeah.
what happens a lot of times when you're undergoing surgery and you have a lot of intravenous antibiotics, that can kill off a lot of that and cause changes in your psyche.
Yeah.
It's very, very, cool. very exciting, important work.
Excellent. So look it up. We'll have a link to it.
Next is, Gary, you're going to talk about...
Skinheads!
Skinheads! And magic t-shirts.
Yeah, this is from Germany, from Deutsche Welle. And they posted that there was a big skinhead rally or extremist rally, and this group was handing out free T-shirts. Awesome, they thought. So they all went back. Well, they wouldn't say the British accent.
It is awesome. It is awesome.
That is sehr gut.
It's Skull and Crossbones.
Das ist
yeah.
Good.
So it had this Skull and Crossbones, and some said the extremist rock or something like that. And so when they went home. To wash the shirt before they wore it again, it came up with a slogan that said, with these, what did it say? What happened to your shirt can happen to you. We can help you break with right-wing extremism. So basically it washed away. Hopefully they wash it with light colors and not with their whites because they probably got in with that. But we don't talk
lawsuit.
About that. Exactly. So it was a really cool idea that they got this message out, a very positive message that if you're stuck in this group, like basically gang members, you don't have to be with them. And so it was a really neat.
That is so cool. I think that is so freaking cool.
So they went around and 250 shirts. They gave around 250 shirts. And so some guys are now walking around with these really cool collector's items.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Or they may be in the trash. Hopefully.
Well, they could
be. Okay. Greg, we had some ghost hunter vandalism. Tell us about it.
Well, alleged ghost hunter vandalism, because this is just plain silly. So Bethesda Presbyterian Church in Tennessee was vandalized, allegedly, by two teens who seemed to have been knocking over gravestones, spraying, painting everything, stuff all over the gravestones.
This is a historical
Civil War era church where they're breaking windows. They were having the candles were too close to tapestries. They could have burned the whole thing down. Now, the weird thing is a lot of the press about the story about this has kind of said, oh, you know, these might be ghost hunters. But it does not make any sense. The reason why they said they were ghost hunters is the vandals used silver and gold paint, and they wrote words like, in addition to this one, they wrote Pac-Man on some of the stones and other quote-unquote paranormal terms.
We know what Pac-Man do.
Yes. The quote from worker Joshua Hayes, who was trying to clean up the area, is, Pac-Man is a video game where these guys are chasing the ghosts. So essentially, these are ghost hunters doing the damage.
So
these kids are, I mean, I don't like ghost hunters. I think ghost hunters are just parasites on society. And I hate that they've taken over the Sci-Fi Channel. But these stupid ass kids.
And the Discovery Channel and the History Channel.
Exactly. These stupid kids are not ghost hunters. No. They're just stupid ass kids who thought it'd be kind of fun to vandalize a cemetery.
Can I just say something before we go on? Because I posted this story.
Yeah.
And there's only one reason I posted it. You know what that reason is?
Go for
it. For him to do the accent?
No. It's because we had a guy, I've got a Facebook app that wasn't working properly. So we had to let a technician into our inner circle to see why I couldn't post links to our topic
from
list.
From your mobile device.
And when I went to add him to our inner circle, I found out he was a ghost hunter.
It's his fault.
So you want to kind of give him a poke in the eye.
That was a poke in the eye.
Does he ever, you talk to him in person?
I've been emailing back and forth to this guy.
At any point, does he have a little thing?
No. He's, you know, nice guy. He's in Maine. He's part of he's a member of the Maine Ghost Hunters group. Okay. And I just posted this kind of a little kind
thing
of
is a
gift
shout out
for
to
him.
All right.
Okay. Cool. So,
but
moving on.
It's still a great story.
Yeah. Donna,
still funny.
Are chimps selfish or are they not? Or are they altruistic?
Well, in the latest news published by Discovery News, chimps are not as selfish as we previously thought. Now, in
I never thought they were not selfish. I'm sorry.
Let me finish.
Shush.
I'll give you an extra 30 seconds for that.
Thank you. One of the great arguments in anthropologic circles is, what is the value of altruism? Because it's contradictory to evolutionary theory.
On a personal level, right?
On a personal level, right.
But not as a social level. Anyway, continue.
So, it's always been suspected that chimpanzees, the other great primates, other than humans, and will you two just stop it? Really?
You need to learn to not be distracted and stick with your story.
Do not go there, Mr. I'm going to interrupt you.
Just so, Donna, just why don't you tell us about chimpanzees and how they're not... will start you over. Go ahead.
Thank you. One of the great arguments in anthropological circles is, what is the value of altruism? Because it's contradictory to evolutionary theory on the personal level. So
right. Yeah, we already covered that. Continue.
You said starting over, so I am going to start over. So,
yeah, but I'm not going to cut it out.
So, Frantz De Waal recently conducted an experiment where he took female chimpanzees and gave them basically a bucket of coins that were two different colors. One would provide the selector with just a treat. The other color would provide a treat for the selector and a nearby chimpanzee.
Right.
And a majority of the time, whoever was the selector of the coin actually chose the coin that would give the treat to both.
Oh.
So the standing offer has always been altruism, and the sharing of food has been due to a social construction. Right. And this is actually disproving that theory quite a bit. In addition, what they're saying is that the previous studies were flawed because it involved complicated apparatuses for retrieving the treat and everything else. So
sucky science made us think that these primates were selfish when all along they were just really, really nice altruistic primates.
That about chimpanzees, okay?
Because we didn't know how to test it.
Bonobos solve power issues with sex, and yeah. Chimpanzees solve
but
sexual issues.
But the tests
issues
were
with
too
power.
Complicated.
Yes.
So now we have a good test. And we found that they were actually, hey, you know, if I'm going to get a treat, you can get a treat too.
Right.
When there's no benefit to the actual
selector.
That's
I'm
great.
I'm going to sign banana.
Great. I love that.
I'm going to sign banana.
And I like the fact that it didn't matter if the other chimpanzee was visible or not. Because, I'm sorry, can I talk for a second?
Go ahead.
Because I thought that was interesting that sometimes they thought, well, if there's social pressure, they'll be nice. So you got the other chimp saying, give me that, and they'll do it. But it didn't really matter. Even if the other chimpanzee was in another room, they would give him the banana.
Right.
It didn't matter about social pressure. They wanted that other chimpanzee to have a banana. You know, it didn't matter. Right. I think that is so cool.
It is also
That's a good test. It is a smart test.
It's also proof that altruism is seen in the other primates, not just in humans.
Absolutely. Well, they said it's an early, it's all mammals have it. This is an early, because they've seen it in wolves, they've seen
dolphins,
all sorts of mammals. They said, well, why wouldn't chimps have it? It seems to be universal among mammals. It seems to be an early adaptation.
They just weren't able to show it until now.
Right. And these people were very, very frustrated and angry that these other scientists had just screwed up this whole frickin' thing.
Well, I bet apes were pretty upset about it, too.
Yeah, they were.
They're
getting a bad rap and saying apes are just mean, nasty brutes because they have no altruism, and now we know
they just want to take
and
over the world and tear down our statues.
And the guy who actually conducted this experiment, Franz de Waal, is pretty much the leader in primatology studies. He's top of the list of any primatologist listed.
So it's just a matter of doing the right test.
He's the top of the tree.
And this is pretty convincing to me.
Sweet.
So I have one last note on this chimpanzee topic.
You got to be seeing the visuals.
Kelly,
the visuals are great.
Kill it.
The visuals. The visuals
are
great.
Did you go and see Rise of the Apes this weekend?
No. Actually, I think you saw Shaun of the Dead.
I haven't seen a movie in a theater for a long, long time.
So I want to say, thank you, Greg, for getting that wonderful audio that we heard at the beginning of the show. I know I told everybody I was going, and I could not go. So sorry, guys. I just couldn't go.
I was busy playing in the heat myself.
Having obligations that I did not know about.
I was busy working.
But I'm glad that Greg was there. Greg, you got some great interviews. And
thanks for all the people that you've met and that have friended us on Facebook.
Yep. Yeah, and some people have posted some pictures, and it's great. So.
Yep.
Excellent.
And
kudos.
Hopefully we'll see a lot of people that we met on the protest line at the Texas Freethought Convention.
Absolutely.
This October, and tickets are on sale, and you should reserve your hotel room now.
Yeah. If not, we're gonna have a room. We're gonna try and fit 100 people in there just to try and save money.
When did this plan happen?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Why not?
Skeptic Choir Orgy!
Okay. You know, we have some great stories we didn't get to this week.
Saturday night.
Maybe they'll show up on the blog. We have schism on whether Adam and Eve actually existed.
Oh, yeah.
We have a great story on...
sex on the brain.
On mapping the women's sexual desire
in
the brain, which I am going to be studying very closely.
I'm getting an fMRI. I put in my bedroom.
Silly, I thought you were going to be researching the colon cleansing one.
That too.
Well, turns out they're not mutually exclusive.
Okay, good night, guys.
Thanks
for listening.
Cheers. Oh, dear.
Kill, Kelly. Kill.
The Skeptic Wire podcast theme music is by Oscar Lawn with guest mandolin by Greg Perrine. If you've enjoyed listening to The Skeptic Wire, leave a review on iTunes or leave us a voice message via the PodPosted app for iPhone. Friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at The Skeptic Wire. Follow our blog at skepticwire.blogspot.com or send us an email, skepticwire@gmail.com. You've been listening to The Skeptic Wire.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
Lightning round!
Lightning round! Lightning round! Lightning round! Lightning round! Lightning round! Lightning round!
Wow.
I think he wants to go watch Thor.
A little bit overexcited.
You were
there.
Pissed off at me a week or two ago because I couldn't think of a new theme for the lightning round.
You don't need a new theme.
And
we
now
have
it's
a
like
theme.
The Viking gods.
We have a theme.
A fighting round. Spam.
I know we're talking through this show and the themes get inserted later. Greg, we have a theme.
Would you like me to change the theme to something more Viking?
No, I just want to push your buttons. That's
something,
all.
Something that you might hear in Valhalla.
You know, why don't we have a theme for the Chamber of Commerce? That's my question.
Oh,
that's a good point.
I will make. No one said anything. I will do that now. I will.
Now
have
it
my,
has been said.
By next week, we will have a theme. for the Chamber of
Did she hurt anything?
No, she didn't. Okay. In case you're wondering what happened, my dog just tipped over a music stand onto
everything.
Music equipment, yeah.
Okay.
So that was Calliope's entry into the lightning round.
Maybe we should start over.
Aunt May?
Lightning round!
Lightning round!
So I'm going to start the lightning round this week with a story.